Employees want more opportunities to grow. They want to develop themselves. The employers want to try to build programs around that, but gathering all the information from the employees in terms of understanding really what their skill sets are, et cetera, that's one thing.
You are listening to C-Suite Perspectives, a podcast by the Conference Board.
Welcome to this episode of C-Suite Perspectives, a signature series by the Conference Board. C-Suite Perspectives are conversations that take an objective, nonpartisan look at a range of subjects that matter most to business leaders. I'm Steve Odlin from the Conference Board and the host of this series. And in today's conversation, we're going to continue our conversation from our last podcast regarding AI in HR. And joining me again today is Diana Scott, the head of the U.S. Human Capital Center here at the Conference Board. Diana, welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, so last time in part one, we talked about all the strategies that that human capital experts are using with AI. But this time we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, you know, more practically, more granularly, you know, what are they doing? So what are some examples in that? And so it's a little bit of a deeper dive. So those of you who are listening who want to listen to the first part, you know, you'll get a little bit of an overview of why and controls and the function, HR function and so forth. But now we're going to go into some of the more detail. So Dana, give us some examples of how HR departments are using AI today.
I'm happy to do that. So, I mean, I think you need to start by just step back and think about the employee life cycle. So, you know, they're born and then, I'm not going to say they die, but there's a full cycle until they finally leave the company. So you've got birth to exit, and think about all the different steps along the way. And AI is really permeating almost every single step. So if you want, we can, like, let's start in the beginning.
Start at the very beginning. It sounds like a song. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, the recruiting process. Yeah. And, you know, you and I have talked about, you know, looking at resumes, scanning resumes. That's been around for a long time. And so what is really changing is as things get more sophisticated, you're really able to do a deeper dive and create efficiency across that entire recruiting process.
And this is using AI to scan all these things.
Exactly. I mean, you know, machine learning models and you know, large language models. But right now, things are getting more sophisticated. So the sophisticated models for resume screening and ranking is actually beginning to use much more sophisticated AI, large learning models. And they're also really focused on how do you begin to deep dive into those resumes and pull skill sets out of them. So instead of looking at, like, what was the job title, you look at things like skill sets. And these models are able to actually pull out and say, well, if somebody's done this kind of job with this description that they've provided, they probably have these skill sets. And that then allows a much more sophisticated matching process for those candidates to the jobs, because they're actually looking at some specific skill sets. And the other thing that's happening is, you know, these models are able to then go and comb through things like LinkedIn and other websites that, you know, house, you know, people post their resumes. And so you're not only doing just applicants who are coming to you actively, but you're actually able to begin to source more actively applicants that are passive out on the web and say, wow, their skill set matches the needs of this job. And so it begins to broaden your reach. Now, you still have to have the human in there to then analyze the results and look at, well, this set of applicants looks like they have the right capabilities. Do we really think that's a good match or not? But I think it's a productivity and time improvement resource right
okay,
now.
Okay, so but you have to have these, you have to have the resumes digitized or you have to access digital information. So it starts with that. So this, you know, when you're thinking resumes, it's not the old paper thing. You either have to, you take them electronically and you take them in volume, and then it's also this, you know, you have to write the screening, you know, or look for keyword search and so forth in order to garbage in, garbage out, right? You have to tell it what you're looking for.
Exactly.
And train it.
Exactly. So that gets down to, how are you writing your job descriptions? Are they based more on skills, or are they aligned around, you know, titles and things like that.
Or education.
So if you really focused in on the skills, that allows you to, again, broaden the aperture.
This is a really important point because, you know, the job descriptions have sort of been the bane of, you know, every CHRO's existence because it's like pulling teeth to get the business people to write them in a way that is functional in this way. But they are more important than ever because of how they're being used.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting to see how generative AI is now being used pretty effectively to develop first drafts of job descriptions. Because you can actually, you know, input a lot of data, even if it's just verbal data, you know, saying, oh, you know, it doesn't have to even be organized.
So you could actually interview the hiring manager and say, tell me about the job. Verbally it goes in. She tells you, this is what I need.
You develop a transcript and you say, based on this, Gen AI, what would your job description
so
look like?
Just like ChatGPT could do this?
Yes, exactly.
So when you going back to the large learning models, is there some, you know, can you buy this stuff off the shelf or do you have to develop this taking 10 years of your IT?
No, there are a lot of companies out there that are actually, you know, developing models that can be used and they have, you know, they have significant impact in the industry right now. You know, you can use them to not only analyze the jobs themselves and translate those into skills-based models, but then you can use those to then match to people who are currently in your organization who may be doing different jobs but have, you know, certain skills, and you can say, wow, developmentally, that person could probably fit in over here. And think about that, because we used to rely on human beings actually making those connections.
So basically you buy this like software off the shelf, but there are certain types of software that are more applied to certain industries and so forth. So you have to sort through that. But there's stuff you can get
Absolutely. To
use right out of the box.
And, exactly. Yeah. There are many organizations that are
Yeah, because
actually...
you know, people hear AI and they go, oh, this is really sophisticated stuff. Well, you have to keep reminding yourself it's just ones and zeros. So you know, and you can buy this stuff and apply it just like you would. But it's a tool.
And there are many enterprising organizations that would be happy to help you as well.
And willing to sell it to you for, it's only money. Yeah. All right, so, as you do this, you have to really be careful about discrimination.
Yes, you do. Surprisingly, though, I mean, there is much more discrimination built into the human process of looking at resumes. They've done a lot of studies where a name can imply a gender, it can imply race, and those things seep through into conscious or unconscious bias in terms of how human beings going and sorting through resumes actually can sort them into different piles.
Well, and it goes back to how do you set the filters on these things and the search terms and all of that. So you still have the human touch in there, and you have to be cautious about all the pros and cons of that.
You absolutely do.
Yeah.
Bias can be built into the models, and it can also be the models can also be built to remove bias.
Exactly.
From the process. It depends on how you build the model. So you have to be very careful about that.
Okay, another place where AI is being used is workforce trends. Talk about that.
Oh, wow. So there are all sorts of AI-powered analytics and predictive models, and they can really help HR professionals kind of anticipate workforce trends and skills gaps.
Well, what's a workforce trend? I mean, give us an example.
Labor shortages. So for example, let me give you a specific example. So you could incorporate all sorts of external data like macroeconomic conditions, labor costs. So are labor costs going up or down in various regions? If you're thinking about offshoring, what would those costs look like and what are the trends there? And then you can match that with internal data in terms of the types of jobs you have, the types of skills you're looking for. And that is actually going to help you. You know, you can look at your turnover rates. Where are we losing people? You can look at current skills of the current workforce, but you can also sort of say project where that's going. You can put all of that together into a model, and that can really help you more quickly produce future staffing needs. I mean, a lot of this work had to be done much more manually, and it wasn't quite as sophisticated. So I think the fact that there are actually companies out there that will help you use their models and build these kinds of models. And you put input from external, you put input from internal, and you can actually do a much better job of projecting what your needs might be of the future.
Well, and hopefully you'll do a better job of fitting people into the right positions. Because if it says, shows that you've got high turnover in a certain department or under a certain hiring manager or a certain division or a certain function, it says, okay, it helps you pinpoint where the issues are.
It absolutely does. And it lets you figure out where you need to focus. It can also, you know, help you to make just better decisions. Because again, you're not flying in the dark. You're able to synthesize and model this information very much like, you know, in the FP&A department, they're like modeling, well, what are all the different scenarios? What are my assumption sets? It's not unlike that, but you have better models, therefore you can make potentially better decisions about what the outcomes might be.
Yeah, and you know, there's tenure, there are characteristics of the individual employees that are part of this too. So if you find out that you have really high turnover in, like, say, the first year of tenure, that tells you, okay, we're doing something wrong, maybe on onboarding, or, you know.
Exactly.
We're just not getting people settled, you know. But if it's at a certain, you know, if you're in the sales function and it's a 5-year point where there seems to be a drop off, what is it? We're not providing enough growth opportunities. So there's a lot of diagnostics that can be added to this.
Exactly. And there's a lot of data that you can input to that. So it's not just, you know, it's turnover rates, it's matched against tenure, bench job type. It's looking at who the managers are, as you said. It's also, you know, throwing in your employee engagement survey data. What are the sentiments? I think doing a better job of tracking the sentiments of your employees, if you triangulate that with some of this other data, can really help you make smarter decisions.
Now, another place that AI is being used is in performance management.
Talk about
some examples there.
Well, there are a couple of ways to think about this. Number one, I think everybody would like to have employees given more real-time feedback, more real-time performance support. And so, you know, there are ways that machine learning can actually predict what actions the employee or the user of that particular application is going to take next. And then they can actually, they can say, okay, you might want to try it this way or that way. So, you know, the employee gets that information in the context of the task that they're doing. So it's really like just-in-time knowledge and performance support. So that's one way that it can be really, really helpful. I think, you know, we all know also we have performance cycles and we have to write performance evaluations.
Everybody's favorite thing to do.
And nobody likes doing that. And frankly, you know, sometimes it's done rather poorly and the feedback is not helpful, it's not useful, you know. It can be somewhat biased in terms of how it talks about a person and their performance, lacking specific examples, or, you know, speaking to things that are not going to be really helpful feedback for that employee. So there are AI tools that have been developed now that are, you know, essentially, again, I think large language models and some generative AI, where you can input things in and then it will evaluate what you've written and prompt you to actually maybe refocus a comment and say, you need more examples here, or this is pretty vague, and actually improve and make it easier to write those performance evaluations.
I thought that's what the CHRO did. They always send them back with, you know, 10 edits saying, mm-hmm. redo this. Now it's AI.
Now you can get AI to do it for you, or at least as a first pass. But it's you know, I think we've also seen it, like, in, you know, we've seen Grammarly. It's advertised all over the place here in New York City.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really a prompting suggestion model, and it's a combination of sort of a, you know, a large language model with some ChatGPT type, you know,
but again,
capabilities.
This stuff, you know, you can bring it off the shelf and use it just as is, or you can customize it and, you know, put your inputs in. But it's out there. You don't have to go get your IT department and start with ones and zeros on this. So that's, you know, that's
exactly, exactly.
Knowledge management, another whole area. You know, how do you keep knowledge within a company? Because increasingly, as we are more of an IP-based society, our knowledge goes out the door.
Absolutely. And just think about how difficult it is to document the knowledge that is in a worker's head. It's really time consuming and it's not always that accurate. So, you know, it's often captured through interviewing the person. And that really requires a lot of time. And then to analyze all those transcripts and actually pull meaningful information out of it and then create a document that can be a living, breathing document for others to tap and search and make it searchable, that's difficult. Or sometimes you ask the workers to kind of write down how they do their work. Has that ever happened to you, Steve?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Just write down how you work. Yeah. You know, write down the process. What is it? Well, that's kind of hard for a worker to articulate. Again, and certainly to write it down. It's like what you said about job descriptions.
But it's a full-time job, too. I mean, because you still have to do your job in addition to describing it.
And then you think about, you know, there's so much unstructured information that we get. In HR, you know, survey comments. That was the bane of my existence.
Open-ended comments.
How about exit interviews? You know, all those exit interviews. You know, how are you going to pull information? And then there's all sorts of, you know, knowledge, tacit knowledge repositories all over the place on multiple systems. Feedback from employees, feedback from customers. So that's the problem. So how do you harness AI to actually help with that? So I think one really good example is if you're thinking about you're interviewing people, you have these big transcripts, you know, advanced AI tools can actually turn those transcripts very quickly into pretty precise insights in just minutes. So one of our members, Cummins Inc., they're a global engine manufacturer, they did a little in-house experiment, which I thought was fascinating. They interviewed their customers, 27 customers, about how to improve the user experience on their website, you know, kind of voice of the customer thing. They had 70 pages of transcripts. And so they went through their traditional process.
They motored right through it.
Yeah. They had a team that spent 60 hours, that's like 2 weeks, right, of a team's work, categorizing, summarizing, you know, deriving insights on how to improve the website, et cetera. Then they turned to AI, and they said it was a combination of a large language model. It was Python, and this they did a tack on called LangChain. This is getting very technical for me, at least. And then they combined that with ChatGPT, and that allowed them to do a simultaneous summarization of all of those 70 pages of transcripts. And the results that ChatGPT came out with at the end was remarkably like what the team came out with, but it took it 15 minutes to do that.
It distilled all the inputs and then spit out what needed to change.
You know, insights. So think about that. You know, time, effort, cost. I think there's so much that advanced AI can do to accelerate knowledge management tasks, and frankly, you know, generate better ROI. And there's so much that we do in HR that has to do with input, taking in large amounts of information, trying to synthesize it, trying to derive real insights from it, and next steps, like what are the actionable items we do from this? So time, effort, cost savings, boom.
We're talking about examples of AI usage in the human capital field. We're going to take a short break. Be right back.
Businesses thrive on innovation, and the line between the possible and the impossible blurs. At the heart of this transformation lies a force, unseen yet omnipresent, generative AI, the key to unlocking a future filled with boundless potential. Leading through the AI transformation is a groundbreaking event hosted by the Conference Board. This event stands as a testament to our dedication to provide trusted insights for what's ahead. It's not just an event, it's a calling for those ready to navigate the complexities of the AI era. Tailored exclusively for C-suite members and their teams, this pivotal gathering is your opportunity to bridge the AI knowledge gap and to lead your organization for its digital metamorphosis and to chart a course for 2025 and beyond. Join us November 7th and 8th, 2024 in Brooklyn, New York. Embrace the leadership challenge at the Leading Through the AI Transformation event. This is your moment to shape the future. Visit conferenceboard.org to learn more.
Welcome back to C-Suite Perspectives. I'm your host, Steve Odlin from the Conference Board, and I'm joined today by Diana Scott, the leader of the U.S. Human Capital Center here at the Conference Board. So, you know, in our part one series, we talked a lot about jobs being eliminated and all that, which I just think is nonsense. And I think, you know, a lot of the examples we talked about in the first half of this conversation talk about how you do this stuff faster, easier, and really get rid of all the stuff that nobody wants to do. And so therefore, it's not getting done right, it's not getting done thoroughly, it's not getting done, in some cases, at all. So I don't see any jobs eliminated here at all. I see a lot of real good productivity.
Absolutely, productivity enhancement, cost savings, absolutely. And to your point, much more interesting work for the people that are there doing this work today.
Yeah. So let's keep going through our examples. So another place is the internal talent management. Almost every one of your examples is it's not quantitative data, you know, which we've had spreadsheets and lots of stuff for. This is all the qualitative data. And the talent data is another whole resource for that. A lot of words and really hard to analyze. What are they doing?
Yes. Well, I mean, one of the areas that I think is really ripe for this is something we like to call it a talent marketplace. I mean, employees want more opportunities to grow. They want to develop themselves. Usually. Not all of them, but 90% of them. That's what they're asking their employers for. The employers want to try to build programs around that, but gathering all the information from the employees in terms of understanding really what their skill sets are, et cetera, that's one thing. Matching that matching process, that takes so much time, and it usually is HR that sits at the center of that. They're trying to pull out of, you know, managers, well, what do you really need? You know, what could you offer? What does the job look like? Are there things that you need, you know, that resources that you need on a short-term basis, et cetera? Organizing all of that has always been very, very difficult. So if you can create a talent marketplace and enable it, you know, from AI to actually help make the profiling of your employees easier. So again, putting it through some of what we talked about earlier, where you prompt employees to be able to create a profile based on their skill sets, and enter in a very simple fashion. It's not, you know, a brain drain. They get their profiles up and running. They register. Get managers to talk about where they need extra resources. And not just think about it as in order to grow, somebody has to change their job entirely. There are lots of projects. There's things that need to be done in an organization. And usually it's, I need somebody for 4 weeks to do this kind of thing. Or I'm missing this kind of capability on my team right now. How do I find that? Usually it would have to be word of mouth. But if you've created this giant marketplace where you can match individuals to opportunities, just think about, I mean, that's like gold right there.
Yeah. Now, so it sounds like, you know, all these examples so far work best in really, really large organizations. I mean, if you only have 5 employees, it probably, you know, you pretty much know what you have. But is there some sort of threshold in your mind, you know, where, you know, at this number of employees, it really makes sense to start using these tools?
Well, you're right. Many of the organizations, you know, some of our members are putting together these talent marketplaces right now, and they have tens or hundreds of thousands of employees. And they're global, so that really unlocks a global, you know, access to a global talent pool that they never had before. And then consequently helps their employees to feel like there really are growth opportunities. But even in the smaller companies, you know, I've worked in companies that had 2,000 employees, and you know, that matching process, especially if it was global, the information didn't have a place to sit. So a lot of it was done word of mouth. If you can have a central repository that can capture the talent that you have in your organization and match it then to opportunities around your various offices and departments and business lines, you know, even that communication in a small 1,000 or 2,000 person organization is not happening, but and even, you need somebody to enable that.
Yeah, but even if you get closer to 500, it depends. You know, if they're all sitting in sales, that's a great marketplace. It's a lot of people. You can't quite get, so it depends on where
on
they are. I mean, if
yes.
you have one each of 500 functions, that doesn't work. So it seems like somewhere in the, you know, in the mid, you know, not zero employees, you know, not a couple, but you know, a few hundred employees, it starts to make sense to use these tools.
It absolutely does.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's really helpful. As I think about everything you've talked about today, just, and you know, the example, we could go on and on with examples, but there are almost, you know, limitless opportunities to leverage AI, and you can't do it all. I mean, if somebody's starting afresh, you know, you just, your eyes are bigger than your stomach in some ways, right? You just want to, let's go digitize everything. But, you have to start somewhere. So is there sort of a Maslow's hierarchy of application of AI?
I think it comes down to really kind of defining your strategy. But you have to have a clearly defined strategy, but you have to ground it in the business goals. And then create a blueprint, and that becomes your guideline.
That sounds really hard, though, and that sounds like something you'd have to hire a consultant for.
Absolutely not. I mean, think about what we make trade-off decisions every day. So you have to say, okay, what does the business need? And then you have to sort of say, okay, so what are the, based on those, what are all the potential things that I would like to accomplish right now using AI?
So, you know, you're using words like, oh, you got to do a blueprint and a strategy. Basically, another way of saying it is, are you a sales-driven company? Are you, you know, what is your business, and therefore, where, you know, what is your
right? So are you looking for cost savings? Are you looking to improve productivity?
What are you trying to accomplish?
What are you trying to accomplish? What is your business goal?
Yeah.
So take that for a starter, and say,
and
okay,
what are your biggest needs?
Exactly, and say, okay, so given that, what would be helpful? You know, how could AI support this? And you can sort of say, okay, I want to build a talent marketplace, or I need to automate my how I scan my resumes.
Okay, so your point is that you don't just do this because it's fun in HR. Your point is, what are the business needs? You know, what are the priorities from a business standpoint? And then work it off those priorities but back into the HR function.
Right, you're going to say, okay, if this is the business need, then what is the HR strategic implication of that? And then how can AI potentially enable some of this? But then you have to do your typical, like, okay, so what are, you know, is it, you know, what's the strategy, corporate strategy? What would be the HR strategy to support that? And then, you know, what are the relative risks of each of these different things? What's the cost? What's the value? So you've got to sort of say, okay, so then if I've got like 17 options, how do I narrow this down to one or two or three?
Okay, so let's go back to your example. So if your biggest issue in the company is we need to recruit like crazy because we're staffing up because we need to grow and da-da-da-da-da, then you would prioritize AI's use in the recruiting process, filtering, all of that. Number one, you'd start there. If your issue was, we've got a really well-developed company, you know, and we've got a workforce, but you know, we're getting some feedback that our well-being is not there. We need to understand the workforce trends. Then you focus, your AI application on that performance management. People aren't getting enough feedback. We're not developing. In other words, link it to what you need out of the business, but then back to the HR function of that, and then prioritize in that order. You don't stop there.
No, and then it's never stops. I mean, you have to continually refresh the list and reorder and reprioritize, just like anything that we do in business. But it has to be grounded in, what does the business need? What are our goals right now?
And because you can't do everything at once, you have to make trade-offs.
Absolutely. You always have to make trade-offs, which is why you can't do everything. So you have to say, how much does it cost? How much effort is it going to take? Do we have the right people in place? And, you know, how quickly can I achieve impact? Is this like something that's going to take 2 years to actually scale up? Is it scalable, or is it something that I can get a quick hit? Now, sometimes you're going to say, I need to invest in some of these longer term because that's going to set us up for the future, but maybe you have some short-term needs, so you've got to balance that as well.
And when I hear the term investment, I'm thinking dollars, but then when I'm listening to you, it's time.
It's time. It's effort.
It's time
people.
And energy taking people maybe away from what they think is their job at the
moment
in order to facilitate longer-term productivity.
It's all about trade-offs.
Yeah.
You got to fly the plane while you're also improving the plane. That old
analogy.
This
is hard. This is too hard.
No, it's exciting. It's very exciting.
All right. So have we scared people?
I hope not. I think this is a real opportunity. I think it's something that you can just dip your toe in, even, because I think you're going to find there are opportunities to make small incremental improvements that are going to have lasting impact in your organization. So start small. Don't boil the ocean. World hunger.
So prioritize, figure out what the basic business needs are.
Yes.
What's your closest alligator? As they say in Florida, you don't have to worry about the whole flock. Just what's the closest one?
Exactly.
And then start. Go buy something off the shelf. Start to apply it. Demonstrate to the organization there's value here.
Absolutely. And I think you'll find that your employees are happy and eager to plunge in. These are opportunities for their personal growth as well, their professional personal growth. So they're going to be happy to volunteer to help with some of this.
Yeah, I think this is
And it's
important.
An iterative process, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, any trek starts with one foot, you know, and one step at a time. And so don't think about, or mixing my metaphors, don't think about running the marathon, think about the first mile. And I think, you know, that's probably the biggest barrier is that first start, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Just got to start with something. And there's so many opportunities. Like I said at the beginning, the whole life cycle of that employee life cycle has steps along the way where you can try and apply AI to improve a process, you know, improve people's jobs, maybe improve or speed up decision making, and save money.
Wow. Diana, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure, Steve.
You've been listening to C-Suite Perspectives, a podcast by the Conference Board.